Reformed Devotion number 23 of 365. Who is sufficient for these things? From The Two Effects of the Gospel by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Preaching God's word is not what some seem to think, mere child's play, a mere business or trade to be taken up by anyone. A man ought to feel first that he has a solemn call to it. Next, he ought to know that he really possesses the Spirit of God, and that when he speaks, there is an influence upon him which enables him to speak as God would have him. Otherwise, out of the pulpit he should go directly. He has no right to be there, even if the living is his own property. He has not been called to preach God's truth, and unto him God says, "What hast thou to do to declare my statutes?" Psalm 50, verse 16. What is there difficult about preaching God's gospel? Well, it must be somewhat hard because Paul asked, "Who is sufficient for these things?" 2 Corinthians 2:16. First, I will tell you that it is difficult because it is so hard not to be warped by your own prejudices in preaching the word. You want to say a stern thing, but your heart says, "Master, in so doing you will condemn yourself." Then the temptation is not to say it. Another trial is you are afraid of displeasing the rich in your congregations. You think, if I say this thing, so-and-so will be offended. Such a one does not approve of that doctrine. I had better leave it out. Or perhaps you will happen to win the applause of the multitude and must not say anything that will displease them. For if they cry, "Hosanna," today, they will cry, "Crucify, crucify," tomorrow. All these things work on a minister's heart. He is a man and he feels it. Then comes again the sharp knife of criticism, along with the arrows of those who hate the minister and hate his Lord. He cannot help feeling it sometimes. He may put on his armor and cry, "I care not about your malice." But there were seasons when the archer surely grieved even Joseph. Then the minister stands in another danger, lest he should come out and defend himself, for he is a great fool whoever tries to do it. He who lets his detractors alone, and like the eagle, cares not for the chattering of the sparrows, or like the lion, will not turn aside to rend the snarling jackal, he is the man, and he shall be honored. But the danger is that we want to set ourselves right. Who is sufficient to steer clear from these rocks of danger? Who is sufficient for these things? Who is able to stand up and to proclaim Sabbath after Sabbath, weekday after weekday, the unsearchable riches of Christ?